You may be seated. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. My subject matter this morning, failure is not final.
Amen.
John chapter 21, my subject matter, failure is not final.
Amen.
Look at that man. He's looking out into the distance. Thank you, David, for the beautiful graphics and artwork that you do. That's what we all do in life. We look out into the distance. Sometimes we fail, and we wonder, will I ever make it? But failure is not final, and sooner or later, every one of us will fail at something. And there are some here today who have had more failures than success. Failure is a universal experience, and everyone at some point in their life, they are going to experience failure. And since failure is a universal experience, I'm sure that you would agree that it's important that we all know how to deal with failure and how to process it when it comes into our lives. I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that's the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They saith unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, I love this, cast the net on the right side of the ship. That's a sermon right there. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it was about 200 cubits, about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, failure is not final. I tried and tried to get away from this sermon, but I just could not get it out of my mind. And so, in seeking the Lord, I knew this was the message for the moment. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for how your spirit is moved. Lord, we've sung about the blood, and we're so thankful for the blood, and we sung about being new creatures, Lord, and we're so thankful that we're saved, that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, there are people here who need a Savior. There are people who are watching by live stream who need a Savior, and I pray, Lord, that the Word of God will penetrate their hearts, they will understand your great love. There are those who are saved, Lord, who are struggling with issues in life. Some have failed, God. Multiple times they have failed, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate their minds, encourage them, Lord, to take up the cross and to continue to walk with you. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. This passage of Scripture follows the resurrection. Jesus had been crucified, and now he had been raised from the dead, and many of his disciples had already seen Jesus before this occasion. Earlier, Jesus had walked through the walls, and his disciples saw him, and they told Thomas, and Thomas said, except I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And later, Jesus appeared again, and this time, Thomas was in the midst of them, and Thomas sees Jesus, and Thomas believes and says, my Lord and my God. Strange things were happening. And the disciples, they were in hiding during this season of time for fear of their lives. The disciples had seen Jesus, and you would think that that would be a time of rejoicing. You would think it would be a time of victory. You would think that would be a time of great celebration. But the truth is, instead of rejoicing and celebrating, the disciples felt like it was a time of failure. They were scared. They were scared for their lives. Jesus had been put to death, and now they wondered if they would be next. It was a dark time for his disciples. And in our text, Jesus appears to Peter and to six other disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. We've been there, my wife and I, and we took the trip across the Sea of Galilee. Strange things happening on that sea. It's down between some mountain ranges there, and the wind comes down, and that sea can become stormy in an instant. It was raining that day, and there were some people wondering what would happen. But God is in control no matter what you're going through in your life. In our text, Jesus appears to his disciples and Peter at the Sea of Galilee. And following this, Peter spoke up and said, "I'm going fishing." And so those other six disciples who were with him, they decided to tag along. And all night long, they cast their net and they drew them back again. They lowered their nets and they pulled them back up over and over. All night long, they struggled with those nets and they caught nothing. It was a night of failure. Had these fishermen lost their touch? Had they forgotten how to fish? Everything seemed to be going wrong. Have you ever been there? And they fished all night and they failed because they caught absolutely nothing. Failure is a universal experience. And everyone at some point in their life, they're going to experience failure. Which brings me to point number one. We will all experience failure at some point in our life. Failure is a universal experience, and it's important that you know that, and it's important that you know how to handle it. We live in a success-driven culture, and everyone wants to be successful. We all feel okay as long as we're successful, but our problems come when we fail. Some of you may be thinking, "I'm too successful, and failure could never happen to me." Well, failure is a universal experience, and sooner or later, you're going to fail at something. And we are such a success-driven culture, such a success-driven society in America, that we just don't know how to handle failure. And one of the problems with failures is this: it takes so many forms. It can come to you in so many ways. It can come to us in the form of a disappointment. I didn't get that job. I didn't get that promotion. It can come as a result of someone letting us down. I never believed they would do me like that. Why, I never thought they would treat me that way. That was my best friend. It can come when a mate has been unfaithful or when a mate walks away and your life is shattered and marred. It can come when we mess up. And when these things happen, we feel like we have failed. And because of our failure, we just feel like giving up. And it doesn't take too much to make us feel like failures. And there will be times in our lives when we feel like failures or times when we actually fail. But the good news is that your failure does not have to be final. There is no failure, no defeat that anyone can experience in this life that God cannot turn around and turn into a victory. Absolutely nothing can come against you. God Almighty cannot turn around and turn into a success if you will turn to Him with all of your heart. Get God involved in everything you do in life. There is no failure that God cannot turn into a success if you will only turn to Him. That's the message of the gospel. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the cross. Hallelujah. You can get God's favor on your life, and when God's favor comes on your life, God will turn your failures into great successes. Go on and praise Him. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. And whether you want to admit it or not, we have all experienced failures. The Bible tells us this. Look at Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for His amazing grace. Amen? We sang about it. And the Bible says that where sin did abound, grace, God's favor. Hallelujah. Grace does much more abound. Look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're living in sin today, let me tell you, sin will kill you. Sin will kill your marriage. Sin will kill your home. Sin will kill your influence. Sin will kill your body. Sin kills. The wages of sin is death. But thank God there's a but in that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Go on and praise Him. Amen. That's amazing grace right there. Whatever failure you may have experienced, God can renew, God can rebuild, and God can restore your life. He can renew, He can rebuild, He can restore. I love that scripture where Job said that God spoke to in Joel, not Job, in the book of Joel. He said, I will restore the years the sin worms have taken, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the locust. And I got a hold of that when I came to Calvary, and I latched on to that one scripture there, and I said, God, I believe You will restore things in my life. I believe, God, that You can turn my failures into successes. And I totally surrendered my life to Jesus, and my life is a testimony today to the grace of God. And many of you, your life is a testimony to how Jesus Christ can transform a life by the power of Calvary's blood. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that every Christian should strive for perfection. But the truth is this. As long as you are in an imperfect world, we are all going to experience failure. I like the way the Apostle Paul said it. Look at Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't understand it all yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So you got to let go of your past if you're going into your future. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ my Lord. Paul is saying, I have not obtained it all yet. I haven't obtained perfection. But one thing I do, I keep on working toward becoming all that God wants me to be, and failure is a part of the process. Hallelujah. Please don't understand me, because I'm not making excuses for those who fail when it's self-inflicted. Amen. If you think that, you're missing the whole point of this sermon today. But what I want you to see is, and what I want you to understand is this, you can fail at something and still not be a failure. There are some things I have learned about myself and about others. None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. And none of us are wearing halos today. We're all in a warfare. We're in a battle. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Whether you like it or not, you better suit up, put on the whole armor of God, because we're wrestling against powers of darkness. Peter said, that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. We are all capable of making mistakes. But when I fail or make a mistake, I don't have to allow it, and you don't have to allow it, to disqualify you from the race. I learn from my mistakes, and then, praise God, I learn from my failures, and I just move on. That's what we're all supposed to do. Don't allow your failures to disqualify you from the race. Learn from those mistakes, and then, hallelujah, stand up, dust yourself off, claim the promises of God, and walk forth into victory in Jesus' name. I remember as a young man in the United States Marine Corps, one of the goals that I set for myself while I was in the Corps. And I set a goal that I wanted to shoot expert with my rifle. And it doesn't matter how good that or how bad you shoot during the week on the rifle range. The only thing that matters is your final score on qualification day. Every year, the Marine Corps is so committed to their men being expert with rifles and knowing how to use their rifle that you go 2 weeks out of a year and they train you. You snap in for 1 week shooting at nothing, just pulling the trigger, learning sight alignment, sight picture, squeeze control, spot wheel, and all types of things, how to know your weapon. You learn how to take it apart in the night and put it back together. You know the pieces. You know the nomenclature. This is my rifle. This is my life. My rifle and I, we are one. That's a creed that they teach you. Every Marine is taught to be a rifleman. But you want to shoot the rifle. You want to shoot an expert score. I did. And I had shot good on the first time I ever went for qualification on qualification day. I had shot good all week long, but on qualification day, something happened to me at the 300-yard line. At the 300-yard line, you fire five rounds from a magazine before you fire the last five rounds. And you start out in the sitting position, and I won't get in the sitting position this morning. It'd be a little hard to get up. Then you get up from the sitting position, you get into the kneeling position, and then you have to change your magazine, and you have to sight back in, get proper sight alignment, proper sight picture, squeeze control. It's all taught to you. Sight alignment is when the tip of the front sight blade is centered from left to right in the rear sight aperture, sometimes using the thumb as a reference point. It looks like this. That thumb is right up under my cheekbone. Every time that I go up with that rifle, I know that is my reference point. My thumb lets me know that. Sight alignment, when the tip of the front sight blade is centered from left to right in the rear sight aperture. When I fired the first five rounds, I had a group that ended up in the five, which is bullseye. When that came up after my firing. But when I fired those last five rounds after I changed magazine and got my spot well, I shot a group that were threes and fours. And I did that because I got an incorrect spot well. And it really bothered me. And I had that group in the center, but I had a group of threes and fours. And when we moved back to the 500-yard line, my expert score, it was still obtainable. But my failure on the 300-yard line was something I could not put out of my mind. All I could do was think about that failure that I had made. It bothered me, and it bothered me so much that I didn't shoot expert, even though I could have obtained it. I didn't shoot sharpshooter. I shot marksman. I didn't completely fail. I qualified. Thank God for that. But I qualified on the lower end of the scale, and I felt like a failure because I was pretty good with that rifle. But I learned something from my failures, and the next time when we shot for score, I remembered that mistake. I learned from it. And the next time, I concentrated, especially all week long. I concentrated when I got to that 300-yard line and I switched out those magazines. I thought about it. I thought about the process. I thought about everything I had been taught. And we all fail, but when we make a mistake, we don't know how to deal with it, and sometimes it devastates us. That last time, I shot expert because I concentrated. I learned from my failures. We should all learn from our mistakes, and we should move on because you cannot fail at something and consider yourself a failure. You're never a failure until you quit and you give up. Failure is a part of the process, but you don't have to make the same mistake over and over in your life. Have you ever looked at people who get divorced and they marry multiple times? They keep making the same mistake over and over again. They marry wrong the first time. They marry wrong the second time. They marry wrong the third time and the fourth time and sometimes the fifth time. And they keep making the same mistake because they keep leaving Jesus out of the equation, and they keep marrying someone that has the same trait as that other person had in their life. And so if you're going to succeed at something, you've got to learn from your failures, and you've got to just move on. Amen. Because failure is a part of the process. But we don't have to make that same mistake over and over and over again. Do you know what H.J. Hines, Walt Disney, Milton Hershey, what these three men have in common? Well, they're all household names. Hines Ketchup, it's slow good. Remember that one? M&M's, they melt in your mouth and not in your hand. Walt Disney, Disneyland, and Disney World, they are modern-day icons. Every one of these men, they were wealthy multimillionaires. Do you know what else these men had in common? They all failed. They all declared bankruptcy before they became successful. Let me tell you something. Failure is not final. Yet many people, they decide after experiencing a failure that I can never succeed in life. Moses felt that way. When he was a young man, he wanted to lead the Hebrew children out of bondage. And he goes out one day and he made a big mistake and he ends up killing an Egyptian and he had to flee for his life. And he ends up on the backside of a desert. Years later, we find him tending sheep in the land of Midian, and God came to him and God told him, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses responded, who am I? And what he was saying to God was, God, I've already failed. What if Pharaoh won't listen to me? And he begins to make all of these excuses. Amen. Of course, we all know what happened. Moses, he went back to Egypt, and God used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. God made Moses successful even after his greatest defeat. Hallelujah. Get God's favor in your life. God's favor will make you the head and not the tail. God's favor on your life will lead you into green pastures. Hallelujah. God's favor on your life will change you into what God has planned for your life. All you need to do is make a total surrender to God and quit making the same mistake over and over and over again, and God will lead you. David said it like this. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Joshua said, I will meditate upon the scriptures. In other words, take God's word and internalize it. Read it not just to read it, but let God speak to you. Let God's word lead you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into what God has purposed for your life. Failure is a part of God's educational process, and God uses that so we can all learn from our failures. Amen. And the greatest lesson we should learn is this. If you will get God involved in the factors of your life, God will turn your failures into success. The Bible is full of people like that. Of course, that was Moses, and then that's David. Oh, we know David. He's not known as David, God's champion. He's known as David the adulterer. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband, Uriah the Hittite. He had him murdered, and he lied it all up. He lied and tried to cover everything up. He failed. And one day the prophet Nathan comes to him and lets him know that his sin was not hidden and that God was not pleased with him. And David's heart was broken and he cries out to God for forgiveness. We got a lot of people that sin, but their heart is never broken because of their sin. We got preachers in the pulpit. Amen. They fall from grace and then they're just ashamed that it happened to them, but they never fully repent. They just want to hide it from everybody and think that they can go on with a mantle of anointing upon their life. No. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Worldly sorrow worketh death. Some people, they come and they cry out a few tears, and I'm so sorry I did you wrong. I'm so sorry I failed there. And they never have any godly sorrow. That person, they walk away from an altar still dead in sin and transgression, because they were never sorry about their sin toward God. I'll never forget the moment I got saved. I did not know it was in the Bible, but when I stood up, I prayed all night and I wasn't saved. And when I went to church and when I stood up, my mother said, "Son, do you have a testimony for Jesus?" I said, "Yes, I do." I told God that I was sorry for the way I had lived my life, that I knew better. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart, wash me in his precious blood. And I said, "Praise God, I believe I'm saved. I'm saved." And when I said that, the power of God hit me. I came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And I've been going and going and going ever since. David had godly sorrow. David had failed, but his heart was smitten when the prophet spoke to him, and he turned to God with all of his heart. Listen to his prayer of repentance. I didn't know that was in the Bible. It might have been in my subconscious, because I heard some good preaching as a little boy, but I didn't want to submit my life to God. I just wanted to go out and do my thing. And when I was 37 years of age, I was wrapped up in chains of darkness, and I needed a Savior. And I came to talk to God the night before. I started praying at 7 o'clock, and I prayed till 3 a.m. And I let God know, you know, that I was sorry for the way I had lived. I was a combat veteran. I had things inside of me that I couldn't get rid of. But I'll tell you one thing, when that nail-scarred hand touched my heart the next day, glory to God, every chain snapped, every chain broke, and he freed me. Did he free you? Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. He's a great God. Every one of us, we have a testimony. Some people, well, you're going to tell that again and again and again. I hear that devil speaking. You better believe it, devil. I'm going to tell it and tell it and tell it and tell it. As long as there's breath in my body, that's my testimony. Hallelujah. He freed me. Glory to God. He broke every chain. Glory, glory, glory. Goodness and mercy, they're on my trail. They just follow me everywhere I go. Glory, glory, glory. I think I'll take a praise break. You'll just have to excuse me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You said, "I don't understand that." Well, if he brought you from where he brought me from, you'd understand it. You'd be shouting and you'd be dancing too. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to get a shout back. It's time for the church to get a dance back. It's time for the church to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's time for the church to be endued with power from on high. Go on and praise him. It takes power, Calvary's blood, and the power of the Holy Ghost to break the chains of darkness. Hallelujah. Psalms 51 and 1. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." David said, "When I wake up, it's there." He said, "When I go all through my day, my sin is there. When I go to bed at night, it's still there." He said, "No matter what I do, no matter where I go, what I have done, it's right before me. And I cannot get away from it. It is ever before me." Verse 4. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Look at verse 10. I love this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." God heard his cry, and God restored him, and he became a man after God's own heart. Failure is not final. And sometimes we mistake failure with being a failure. How many failures does it take to make a person a failure? Have you ever thought about that? You can fail at something, but that doesn't make you a failure. The only time you ever become a failure is when you give up and you let a quitting spirit get on you. Don't ever make the mistake of mistaking failing for a failure. Thomas Edison, he failed many times before he ever invented the incandescent light bulb. In fact, on one occasion, someone said to Edison, "You must feel like a failure." And he responded, "No, I just discovered 100 ways that don't work." But he didn't fail just 100 times. He failed thousands of times before he was successful. Later, he wrote these words, and I quote, "When everyone else is giving up on a problem, that's the time to begin." End of quote. What an attitude. No wonder he was such a success in life. Walt Disney was fired in his early career from a newspaper that he worked for because they said he was not creative. Mickey Mouse and Pluto and Donald Duck and Daisy Duck, they're all cartoon characters and they're known the world over. Amen. Don't ever quit and don't ever give up because you are not a failure until you quit. Every person here, every one of us, we will have times in our lives when we all fail. Failure is a universal experience. And everyone at some point in their time, they're going to experience failure. But a person only becomes a failure when they give up. Which brings me to my second point. What should we do with our failures? What should we do with our failures? In 2 Samuel chapter 5, the Bible says, David was in the valley of Rephaim. He was there with his soldiers. Rephaim in the Hebrew, it means giants. In other words, David was in the valley of gigantic problems, and he sat down under the mulberry tree, and he stayed there. Mulberry is translated baka in Hebrew, which means weeping. So I want you to get the picture. David is in the valley of gigantic problems, and he sits down under the weeping tree. And that's what most of us do when we fail and when we get in trouble. We get under the weeping tree, and we sit down, and we almost give up. There's a voice that says, "Why don't you quit? Nobody loves you. Why are you a failure? Why do you keep doing this anyway? Why don't you just give up and quit?" But there's another voice. Amen. And God spoke to David. God's instruction to David was to listen to the sound above the mulberry tree. That's God's instruction to you today if you're in that place right now. Listen to the sound of what the Spirit of God is saying to you. And when you hear the sound above the mulberry tree, advance quickly. For the Lord your God, he goes before you to win great victories. Hallelujah. He was saying you need to listen to the Spirit and you need to hear something above the sound of your weeping. You need to hear something above the sound of all those problems. You need to hear something above that voice that is tormenting you. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear the sound of the Comforter. You need to hear the sound of the Holy Ghost when he speaks. And he's saying, no matter what has come into your life, I still have a plan for your life. God is saying, no matter how much you feel like you have failed, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what life circumstances have dealt you, I want you to know that I am the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. And God said, if you'll put your hand in that nail-scarred hand, I will turn your failures into successes and great victories. Because God is saying, I still have a plan for your life. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a time to weep, but there's also a time that when you get up and you go on with your life. Psalms 84 and 6 says, passing through the valley of Baca, or passing through the valley of weeping. Not taking up residence there, not living in your failures for the rest of your life. You have to pass through your season of weeping, and you have to go on with your life. Forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. I'll never forget when I came home from Vietnam, how they would spit in our faces at times. I never experienced that. Personally, if I had, I wouldn't be standing here today. I promise you, I'd be locked away somewhere. Amen. I had that in my heart, but God took it out. I couldn't get a job. I tried to get in one of the colleges, and they turned the door on me. I had 2 years of college credit. Why did they turn the door? Why did they shut it? Because I was a Vietnam veteran. And I had to get over that. If I hadn't, I would never have succeeded at life. But I said, no one will stop me. I will achieve what I want to achieve in life. I wasn't even saved. But I tell you what, I got God in the equation. And when I did, God transformed everything in my life. Don't allow failure to conquer you. Take the attitude of the four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7. They asked the same question. The famine was on. They were separated from their families, and they asked the right question. They said, why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here till we die? And they looked, they got up, and they looked up, and they looked for a better tomorrow. God turned what looked like a great defeat into a great victory for everyone that day. And if you'll get up and turn to God with your failures, I promise you this, God will turn your failures into a victory. Amen. By the way, that's what he did at Calvary. Because in God's economy, there are no such things as failure. There's just potential for growth. Failures are part of God's educational process. And we should learn and we should grow from our failures. It's just a part of life. As a part of God's educational process when you and I fail at something. But God uses that to propel us forward into our greatest victories if we will learn from our failures. In our text, it does not end with the phrase, they fished all night and caught nothing. But the next morning, Jesus stood on the shore. And he asked them, have you caught any fishes? And they replied that even though they had fished all night, they had caught nothing. Now I want you to look at John 21 and 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. The Spirit of God is saying today, cast your net on the right side. Make a right decision. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in the multitude of fishes. Here's where the Lord spoke to my heart. Notice that phrase, cast the net on the right side. Cast the net on the right side. What should you do when you fail? Cast the net on the right side. I want you to look at two scriptures. They're not on the screen there. If you would pull up Psalms 30, verse 5, I want you to see this. Psalms 30, verse 5. It says, weeping, his anger endureth but a moment. His favor is for life, or for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In his favor is life. That doesn't make any sense. That's King James. But it means his favor is for a lifetime. And you can find that in your translation. Also, I want you to look at Job chapter 10, verse 12. This is the one that God dropped in my spirit recently, and I love this right here. Job 10 and 12. Put your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Cast your net on the right side. Look at this. Thou hast granted me life and favor. I love this last part. And thy visitation has preserved my spirit. I may be going through a hard place. You may see the smile on the outside. You don't know what I'm going through inside. But I do know one thing, that he will visit me, and that his visitation to me personally and to you personally, it will preserve your spirit. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky. Turn to God and you can overcome your failures. Get God involved. You know, we think of Peter, and most of us, we think, well, he was a failure. We remember how he denied the Lord three times on the night of the crucifixion. Peter didn't think he would ever fail. He said, they might deny you, but God, I would never deny you. But he did. And he failed. And when he failed, his heart was broken. But later after the resurrection, Jesus said, tell my disciples and Peter to meet me in Galilee. Hallelujah. Peter was restored. And Peter became the apostle to the Jews, like Paul was the great apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And it was Peter who preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. The Lord chose him to do that. And 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. I want to tell you today, failure is not final. God has a plan for your life. Let us stand. He said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. Touch my heart like you do,
and I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
I want us all to come to the altar. I want you to bring your burdens to the Lord.
There is none.
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Maybe you have that heavy burden today.
I could search for all.
Holy Spirit, take these words. Lord, and everybody that's under that load of feeling like that their failure is final, Lord, speak to them over and over again and let them know your failure is not final. It's just part of the process. And I'm working a great work in your life because I purpose good things. I purpose great things for you. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name. Touch hearts. Touch lives. Restore, Lord. Let your spirit go into those inner recesses of those broken hearts. That he healeth the broken heart and bind up their wound. Lord, I know you do that. You heal my brokenness. You heal my broken heart, God. I praise you for that. I thank you for life, Lord. I thank you for life. For those watching by live stream, the more abundant life. For those that are gathered here in this altar, oh God, I thank you for touching them. You said of your fullness have we received, and grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, that your favor's for a lifetime, and your favor and your grace just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling to us, oh God. Holy Spirit, I preach the word. I've done what you called me to do. Now do the work that only you can do. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, touch, change, comfort, heal, minister. Hallelujah. Touch families, oh God. We're a loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Lord, we all need healing at times. Our families need healing. Our hearts need healing. Our brokenness needs healing. Our pains need healing. Oh, God, touch with peace. Touch hearts with your peace, Lord. None like you, Lord. We acknowledge you. You're the great one.
There is none.
You're the Savior. You're the healer. You're the restorer.
And no one else can.
You're the Savior.
Like you do.
Hallelujah.
And I can search for all eternity till long and find there is none like you.